back to the regular exclusive podcast. And it feels good to be back. You know, been a couple weeks off. Need to talk some movies.
Yeah, it's been a minute, and I feel like it's just, this is what I needed, and it was so quick into the new year, and it was like all of a sudden just chaos. However, it was a good rest period, hopefully, for us, but it does feel like almost more restful now to be back.
Yeah, it is weird. It's like the whole time I'm thinking while we're not doing this, it's like, man, I really want to talk movies.
I know.
So it's like, was it really a rest, or did it just make our lives a little more stressful but not have the outlet?
Basically, that's just life, isn't it?
But timing works out perfect because we just had the Oscars.
Yeah.
And it was a good Oscars, you know?
I thought so too, but that's because we're not very harsh critics. I feel like most people are like, what a dud. And I'm like, because it wasn't insane. I also feel like, how are we going to top the crazy shit last year with the slap? This year, they were trying to tone it down and keep it very good and just plain good. Nothing extreme of any kind. You know, they were just like, let's just get a straightforward show through and we'll like get back on our feet, you know?
Yeah. And I feel like this is one of the years, probably one of the only years I can really think of where I actually saw like almost all of the movies. And,
yeah.
You know, it's like when we did it a couple of years ago, like we were crossing our fingers for Everything Everywhere All at Once. And just like that was what made that exciting because we loved that movie so much. This year, it's like I saw pretty much all the movies and was like, I'm really curious. Who's going to come out on top in this with this? Because there's a lot of great performances, a lot of good movies. But yeah, it's fun.
I agree. There was a lot of good shit going on this year. There was like a lot of good movies in the mix. I feel like I've done years where I've tried to watch all the Best Picture nominees, but I feel like this year, I feel like above average, like I enjoyed most of the Best Picture nominees. Like, I don't think there was any that I was like, besides Oppenheimer, which I will say I'm just like, I'm pretty mid about, but I understand it. And I even texted Jace last night and said, I don't care that I don't love Oppenheimer like everyone else. I'm still happy for Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
I do have a heart somewhere in there, but I feel like it was just a good batch of movies this year. So it was like more exciting the more I watched them.
Yeah. Well, and there was only one movie from the Best Picture 10 movies that I just did not care for, and that was Maestro. And that worked out well for me because it won nothing. It walked away with nothing. Bradley Cooper just has that nose, and that's it. You know?
I mean, he's trying his hardest, and it doesn't look like he's bad, but it's just like the Academy, they put him in the front row every year, and it's like they nominate him. Sometimes they just don't even nominate him, but they still put him in the front row. I think they've got some grudge, man. He comes all the time. He gets nominated. He gets like to a point, but he never wins fucking shit. Joker, I think, is the last thing that he won because he was a producer, but not for like things that he's like written and directed since he started doing that too.
Yeah, it's starting to feel like Stockholm Syndrome, where like the Academy is just like, you're almost there, man. Just keep trying, keep doing more.
I mean, they kind of did this. They blue balled Leo for a long time too. So I do feel like, you know, but I think Leo wasn't like writing, directing, doing all this stuff too. So it does feel like Bradley's really trying his best, and it doesn't look like he's terrible, but it just looks like he's trying a bit hard now. And they're like, sure, yeah, next year maybe. We'll see. He'll have an even bigger nose. So that'll be like 7 years from now when he's learned to do something that he could have learned in a month.
Yeah. Not spend 6 years working on one scene.
Yeah.
Even Daniel Day-Lewis is like, dude, chill.
Like, I know. And he like became a fucking cobbler before, like for a year or something before he did a part or some shit. And I was just like, that's crazy. But that's crazier.
Well, the first thing that I want to mention, it's the only thing I wanted in the entire Oscars this year, and I got it. Godzilla Minus One got Best Visual Effects.
Hell yeah.
Like,
deserved.
Every other movie was a $100 million budget movie, at least. And this little $15 million Godzilla Japanese movie just crushed them. I'm like, I want an underdog movie made about this underdog movie winning the Oscar. Ooh. That's what I want. Like,
there
let's
you
just go.
Go
nuts.
Why not? Let's fucking bank on it. I mean, they're probably doing Godzilla Minus Two already, so let's get a documentary going. They're probably already filming themselves filming that. They're already thinking about it, I bet.
The one thing, I mean, first off, maybe the cutest thing I've ever seen, that all of them went up with little Godzilla
Oh, I
figurines.
loved that.
That
I was
was
like, can I get
adorable.
one of those?
But how dare the Oscars
Play them off.
play them off?
I
Like,
know.
get out
Fucking
of here.
royalty, man.
Like they went through the work of like speaking English, like they were reading and like they clearly had been practicing English for this
It was
speech,
amazing.
and like they were going slower than normal, but like let them do it. Like
Yeah.
they did it with less than a quarter, like a tenth of the budget that all these other movies got. Like
I know. I feel like other speeches, it's like crazy how like short the time is. I feel like we didn't really talk about the SAG Awards that were on Netflix, but like that was like a real wow, this is like better than regular awards, I felt already.
yeah, when they don't have to do commercial
They don't
breaks.
do commercials, everyone can swear, and there's no time limits on the speeches. I was like, and they did the clips. I will say the Oscars this year won me over, even though I was so distraught when I found out they weren't doing the little Oscar clips. They did it for some things, but the acting ones that I always look forward to, they didn't do. However, I was still satisfied with the replacement. I was curious what you thought about that.
Wait, what do you mean when you say the clips?
Okay, so you know how like they play the scene clips when they go through like
Yeah.
best supporting actress or whatever? They
Yes.
normally have that. Not normally. Sometimes they get rid of it and I hate it, but like, I love that. They had it for other categories, but the acting ones, instead, they had the five actors who had
Yeah.
already won that award come out and speak about each of the nominees. I thought that was really cool and it was meaningful to each of the nominees. However, I was like, oh, I still love those fucking scene clips. I don't know why. I got them in other places, so I think I was still satisfied, but.
Yeah. I was surprised. I loved the way they did that, where they had five different people just say a little bit about each performance. I actually really loved that. And I thought it was cool to bring out the past winners. I don't know if that's like the past five winners. That no, it wasn't.
No, no,
But
no, no, no. It's like I think it's like the last one for sure. Maybe the one before that, but it's more of like a mix. Sometimes it seemed like some of them maybe were like connected to the person, but sometimes you were like, I don't know how they're connected. Like Christoph Waltz was talking about Ryan Gosling, and I was like, were they in a movie together? I don't remember that. And like maybe they're homies, I don't know. But I was just like, it was, you know, I didn't know the connection on all of them, and maybe some of them were just like good guests or good. Ho or not hosts, but like, you know, speakers, whatever.
Yeah, they were probably, yeah. But I really liked that. I thought that was, I personally liked that more than seeing the clips. And maybe that's because I watched all the movies for the most
Yeah.
part. So like, I don't know, maybe that made it different. But yeah, I thought it was just cool and different, and I liked it. I liked it a lot. So I was a big
Yeah.
fan of it.
Me too. I didn't remember that it's I saw something that said they did that in I think 2009. So I've like didn't even remember that that was something they'd done before. But I liked it a lot and I
I
thought
thought
it
that
was
was a
cool.
new thing.
Me too. I was like, this seems cool. And I was like, wow, they should do this every time. 'Cause at least we got clips for the other things and then still like we got all the performances. Sometimes they cut the performances and you're like, man, sometimes like there's sometimes you're like, man, that's the best part. Like this one, we'll talk about it maybe at the end, but just like they saved it. But yeah, I think overall people were just expecting maybe like too much. And this thing was like exactly what I figured it would be, which was like not too much, not enough. It was like it was just very average Oscars, but in a good way.
Yeah, I didn't feel like it dragged on or lagged in any ways. I thought it was good. I really enjoyed it. I wanted to ask you, what'd you think of Jimmy Kimmel?
Oh, I love him as a host. I think he's just, again, when you're wanting this kind of a balance of the Oscars, he's your go-to guy.
Yeah,
He's done it like 5 times or something.
I feel like he's had to have hosted the Oscars more than anyone else.
No, I don't think
Really?
so. I'm pretty sure, like, I know Billy Crystal has hosted it a ton of times. I'm gonna look it up right
All right, you
now.
look it up. I thought Jimmy Kimmel was really good. I was a little worried that he was going to become like too familiar, because I feel like the last, I don't know, decade, I associate almost exclusively with Jimmy Kimmel. Like, He's had some pretty incredible moments of, you know, drama outside of, you know, the Chris Rock slap.
Okay, but Bob Hope has done it 19 times.
Jesus.
I know.
Bob Hope. All right, well, I'm way wrong.
And then Billy Crystal, 9. So,
oh, man.
Like, there's definitely a few, but I think Jimmy Kimmel is, okay, 4 times, so this is his 4th.
Wow, it feels like way more than 4.
Yeah, he's pretty dependable. Like, he's just a really good host, but I don't know about you. I think we might have texted about this, but I was like, I think we both were like, John Mulaney should host. He's a great host.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of people talking about that too, which I was happy about.
Especially when he had that little spot. He was hilarious.
The line that he did about Madame Web was great. I loved the jabs at Madame Web because it was just like, I haven't even seen that movie, but like, I love everything that everyone's saying about it. All the hate is hilarious.
Yeah, but I thought Jimmy Kimmel did a really good job of like of balancing making fun of all of these really rich and good looking people, but then also still like respecting the art of the movies. Like, I loved that he kind of opened up his whole thing with Greta Gerwig getting snubbed, and then everyone applauded, and he's like, oh, like you guys didn't have a choice in
Yeah.
her getting snubbed.
Don't
Like,
pretend like you guys are the
you're
ones
part of the
like that
problem.
didn't vote her out. Yeah. I loved it. That was like a little bit, it's crazy because it's like the difference of like, I don't know if Ricky Gervais has actually hosted the Oscars. He's done the Golden
No.
Globes a million times, but like, I don't think they're ready for him there. But like, he would be so good because he just doesn't give a fuck, you know?
Well,
And he would start with that kind of shit of like say something nice about Greta Gerwig and then go, how dare you? Well, you guys fucking did it.
Ricky Gervais would just be like, we'll mail the winners the Oscar. I'm going to spend the next 3.5 hours roasting every person in the room.
I know. And it would have been so good because people can't probably handle that. The Oscars is too highbrow for that, whatever.
All right. Well, let's go through some of the highlights of the Oscars, the awards. I mean, first off, like Oppenheimer, I think it, to no surprise, really came in and swept it. They had 13 nominations. They walked out with 7.
I kind of expected them to win a few more, though, and I was a little bit surprised. And I was still like, I didn't expect anything to change for like the big awards for them, you know, like the acting or the directing and like cinematography and best picture. I knew that that was kind of still a lock, but I felt like some of the technical awards that I thought were going to go to Oppenheimer did not. Like, sound surprised me. I thought that I loved the sound in Zone of Silence and like
Zone of Interest.
Or sorry, sound Zone of Interest. And I thought that it was like really cool that one won because I thought Oppenheimer was good, but like Zone of Interest was just like something totally unique. And really affecting. So I'm so glad that it won. But like, right, were you surprised that it didn't win in all of the technical stuff?
So I was expecting it, yeah, to win a lot of technical things just because like there was so much hype around like no CGI and like all this stuff. So like also from a sound perspective, I'm totally jaded because like what we talked about when we did the episode on Oppenheimer, I saw it at the IMAX.
Yeah.
And so like it blew my face off.
I mean, I just saw Dune Part 2 at the IMAX and I finally understand it's been a long time since I went to the IMAX and that shit was like, I literally like turned it whole and like as soon as it started, I was like, we're going to be fucking deaf when we walk out of here. This shit was, I was like, I'm on this fucking sandworm.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But like, so I saw some like behind the scenes stuff of Zone of Interest. And I mean, we can just say right now, Zone of Interest is the wildest movie of this year, at least in my opinion. It's the most impossible movie to recommend, just like the subject of it. But the I saw like behind the scenes stuff. So this movie had an actual audio script, which was separate from the actual movie script, and it was as long as the movie script. So all of the noises and sounds you hear throughout the movie in the background, it's like so intricate and like
totally
methodical. when I learned that, I was like, okay, yeah, I'm expecting Oppenheimer to win this, but I could see Zone of Interest winning it.
100%. Like, I was like, I felt like they totally deserved it. I looked up shit like that too, because I was just like, once you kind of experience the movie, I would say if you're familiar with the horror genre and interested in an experimental horror, but maybe not on the level of Skinamarink, which I will, like, we even admit is a little bit too much for us. I feel like this is a little bit less crazy, but still kind of experimental with the sound and like the way that it's not really a horror film, but it is because of the sound. And I thought that that was like what was so cool about it. And when I looked that up, I was like, they totally deserve it, but it feels like Oppenheimer's gonna sweep. So when that happened, though, I was almost like, it did make me go, I feel like Christopher Nolan's def like 99% sure gonna get best director. But then I was like, two already for Jonathan Glazer, like his movie, like that's like unexpected. I knew he was gonna win best international, and I wanted him for sound, but I was like, maybe he had a shot. Maybe like he was number two after Christopher Nolan. I don't know.
Zone of Interest was like my sleep. Zone of Interest and Anatomy of a Fall were my sleeper picks for Best Picture.
Yeah, I honestly thought those two were like definitely up there. Personally, after all the like love for Poor Things, I was really excited because I thought maybe it had a shot. And I loved Poor Things more than Barbie, even. Like, I love Barbie and I will rewatch it, but like, I just like really enjoyed Poor Things on some crazy ass level. And it was so good that like, I was like, ho when I started winning, I got all those categories wrong. So I had totally not picked it, but I was like, I don't give a fuck. I'm so excited, you know?
Poor Things was such a weird watch for me because it reminded me a lot of when the first time I watched Midsommar. I went into it with very just different expectations than what the movie was.
What were your expectations? Just curious.
Well, I mean, first off, I was not expecting that much sex.
I had heard that, but I guess I was still like, oh, that's a lot though. But it was like it was so much that it was hilarious to me, but it was also like how cool that they were just so comfortable with it. And it kind of called for it, so I'm glad they didn't like, you know, just kind of opt out to not do it.
I
It
mean,
kind of made it work better for me. But I
and
get it. It's a lot to be like, what the fuck?
well, and just so I don't sound like a total prude, that didn't bother me. I just wasn't expecting as much. I hadn't
Yeah.
really heard anything about it, and I feel like if there was anything for me to hear, it would be some comment of that's a lot of nudity and a lot of sex, and I just didn't hear that. So, like, I don't know. I was expecting like a Frankenstein story without sex. And
I love
it's
it.
a.
It's like it starts that way, but then she discovers masturbating, and it's like from there,
Yeah.
it's just a sex movie. And I love it's not even just a sex movie, but it's really cool. People were like trying to say some issue with like her, spoiler alert, if you don't know the plot of the movie, but it's like a woman who's pregnant and throws herself off a bridge, is found by a creepy doctor, Willem Dafoe, who puts her back together, but like uses her baby's brain in her body. So it's like,
Yeah.
people had some problem with that. And I was like, I think you're thinking too much into it, man. None of this is even fucking possible. Like, all of
Yeah.
this is not real. It's all just like totally stylized. And then it's just very much like, it feels so feminist in a way that like Barbie does, but like, it's like part two to Barbie once she like goes to the gynecologist and like
Yeah.
starts having sex. It's like, this is what she becomes, I feel like, you know, it's like experiencing life and then not having any of like the usual human things that might hold you back from just being like as free as possible, which I feel like that's what's so great about Emma Stone. And I'm so glad that she won because I felt like her performance was really like the whole thing.
Yeah. And so it's a movie that like I didn't rate super high, but I did say like on Letterboxd, I was like, this is a must rewatch for me because I was so distracted by the bizarreness of it and the weirdness of it that like it distracted me from the themes of it. And like it's like a coming of age story mixed with Frankenstein, and
Yeah, and
which I
then but mostly a
really
comedy too, but
yeah
it's so surreal.
and like I really loved it, But like I was, my head was all over the place, and it's similar to like Midsommar. Midsommar is like one of my favorite movies now. But like the first time I watched it, things did not click, and I'm like, I'm gonna watch this again in a month, and it's gonna be my favorite movie of the year.
That's like
I could
what,
already see it.
that's totally your thing, dude. You did that with Nope too, I feel like. And then you were like, you watched that a second time. You were like, I think you liked it, but then
I
you're like,
liked
this,
Nope, and then I loved
you
Nope.
like unlocked them on your second watch. So that's like totally tracks for you. That's your way. And I bet you will love Poor Things. I thought it was from the moment that she was like at dinner with that fancy place, and then she goes, I have to go punch that baby that's like been screaming. I was like, and she just walks over with a fist, like ready to go. I was like, that's like, I love this movie. It was
Well,
great. But yeah, I'm so glad that it won all the like technical categories, but I was sad about Barbie.
it's the second most winning movie of the night.
I know, it's crazy. I did
It's
not
the
expect any of that.
only movie besides Oppenheimer to win more than one award.
Wow, I didn't realize that though.
Yeah. I did
That's
some
crazy.
I got some research on it,
Damn, way
but
to go, Jace. Well, I mean, how did you feel about like, I love the production design, and also like a lot of it was like practical stuff for Poor Things, but like, don't you kind of feel Barbie was really snubbed still? Like, as much as Poor Things was incredible, Barbie was like so fucking specific to Barbie, and it was so incredible. So much thought went into it.
So I was fully expecting production and costume design to split between Poor Things and
Barbie.
Barbie.
I thought it would be Barbie, but I'm glad that
I
I'm,
thought Barbie
yeah.
was going to get costume and Poor Things was going to get production. The thing I definitely wasn't expecting was John Cena to be the funniest presenter in the history of Oscars.
That was incredible. I was
Like,
like, that was not on my bingo card for the Oscars this year. And like, people want to say, oh, there was nothing crazy. I'm like, that was fucking awesome. That was the funniest thing they've done in years,
I think that's
right?
the funniest thing I've ever experienced at the Oscars. That's the loudest I've laughed at
Me
the Oscars.
too.
Like him just scooting out naked and then just being like, so costume design is really important for various reasons.
It was so fucking good. And then I love that he's like wearing like a toga when we come back. But like Jimmy Kimmel just being like, oh God, you can't even do it. Like, you're the worst. It was just perfect. And then another thing too, just like great little cameo appearances, was like the dog from Anatomy of a Fall was
I
like
mean,
my favorite. I wish that there was an award for best dog at the best dog in a movie ever, or just in general.
I was gonna bring it up when we talked about best supporting actor, like Robert Downey Jr. I'm glad you won, but like you lucked out that award couldn't
The
go to a
dog.
dog,
That
because
dog won me over
best
when they
supporting actor this year, hands down.
hands down, when they panned to him and his paw, the paws were like straight clapping, I was like, I'm gonna die. That was the best thing I've ever seen. No notes. That instantly skyrocketed this Oscars way up for me. I don't know what people are talking about. I think they just are so reactionary. I want to hate the Oscars.
Well, I mean, I was expecting it to be split with Poor Things and Barbie. I thought Oppenheimer had a chance for production design, just because like they, well, from what I've like heard, like they totally recreated like all of those like college scenes and all this. I don't know. It just,
Wow.
it, I'm not saying I
I'm
agree
just
with it,
kidding. I'm just
but
saying, come on. I get it, but I'm also like, I just feel like it's still not the best. It's sure, it's great. I'm glad it was definitely worthy of a nomination, but winning, come on. That would be if it won everything, you know?
yeah.
I would have been so much more upset if it had
Well,
won everything.
one thing that I want to talk about Oppenheimer winning that I don't think should have won was cinematography.
Really?
I thought Poor Things was great.
I agree.
Not nominated was Dream Scenario
Agreed.
and also Beau Is Afraid.
Thank you for saying that, because I was about to say it too.
And
That should have won.
Beau Is Afraid should have also been nominated for production design.
And actor and best picture, best director. I mean, everything, all of it. But you know what? They don't reward the movies that we love, and that's fine. Some of them they do, But like even non-horror, you know, like Saltburn we were talking about, that shit deserved to be at least in production design, costume, all that stuff.
Original screenplay.
Best supporting actor, Barry Keoghan. Don't tell me they wouldn't put that. That's what I would have been so mad if they didn't have the clips for. It's like, put that fucking bathtub scene up. I want to see it. That's the moment that everyone would be like, he wins.
Well, and when we talked about Saltburn, I said Barry Keoghan's outfit at his birthday party scene, like the wings and the antler, or no, there was the leather jacket and the antler. I was like, that's gonna be next year's Halloween. Like
I
everyone's
know.
gonna be dressed up like that.
100%. And yeah, I feel like no one's going to be dressed. I mean, to be fair, I would love to dress as Bella from Poor Things. Those outfits were, those sleeves kept getting puffier and I just kept getting more excited.
Oh man. But yeah, so then so yeah, production design. I thought it was at no surprise that that Oppenheimer won original score. Like
Yeah, it was
I've
good.
watched some videos about how insane that original score is, and like it's pretty wild. Like we won't, this is an audio podcast, so we're not gonna do it, but like they randomly switch up the time signature and it's just totally weird.
That's
But
cool.
I did love that John Williams was nominated again for Indiana Jones, but it's like, no, he's not winning that. No, but
No, of
John
course not.
Williams,
He's
most
gonna be.
nominated guy in Oscar history.
They're
We're
not
just
gonna
gonna keep
not
it going.
nominate him. Yeah. He's nominated just the same way that Martin Scorsese is nominated, where like, and Robert De Niro, it's like they have to be nominated. If Meryl
Yeah.
Streep does something too, nominated. It's like they just have to be. It's like a rule of Hollywood. So yeah, that makes sense, honestly. I do feel like there's a lot of movies that like I really wish that like When Evil Lurks could have been in the Best International. I don't know if it, I definitely don't think it would have won against Zone of Interest, but like what a great movie to have
Oh
put in
yeah.
there, you know? Of course, nothing again that we like ever happens. However, I think like also I was gonna ask you how you felt, but like the musical performances throughout, I knew after a little bit that they were saving I'm Just Ken for the end.
Oh
But like,
yeah.
how disappointed were you watching like the Flamin' Hot Cheetos song and being like, this could have
Oh.
been Jack Black doing Peaches. You know, I was so upset thinking about it, even just for you, but for myself too. It was a bummer.
I've been angry in my life, but I've never felt a rage than when I watched the 90-second long Flamin' Hot Cheetos nothing performance. I'm like, I'm sure the movie is just fine, but
No,
like
fuck the movie, Jace. The movie is a piece of shit. I don't care how good it could be. It's literally about a fucking fake. It's not a real story. Why are they selling it as a real story in this? Like the chick, Becky G, whatever, was interviewed on the red carpet talking about how it's such a great emotional story. And I was like, no, this is bullshit.
Well, it's like I haven't seen it, so I'm not going to comment on it. I'm sure it's whatever. But like the thing with like original song, you look at every other song that's listed in there, it is very obviously tied to the movie. Like the heart of those movies is in those songs. That's the whole
Yeah.
point of the category. Like when they performed Flamin' Hot, I had no inclination that like this had anything to do with Cheetos or the story of
The
Cheetos.
fake story of how Flamin' Hot Cheetos was fucking marketed to us because it's not a real fucking story. The guy who worked as a janitor didn't invent them. It's all fake. And they fucking made it into a movie on Hulu and a fucking song for the Oscars. It's just bullshit. It
I'm
doesn't
just
even
like,
deserve to be there. It should have been eliminated because it's just so fucking contradictory.
you chose to do a 90-second long, it's like half of an actual song, a 90-second long thing versus Jack Black
Oh, yeah.
performing anything. Like the Jack Black Peaches would rival Ken. Like
Yeah,
it's like
I guess.
how did you guys make this decision? This was your moment. This
I
was,
know.
in words of Eminem, if you only had one shot, one moment to seize this opportunity.
Yeah. And they fucked it up. You know why? Probably because, just like you said, the other one was so short and they did shortened versions of the other songs. just so that they could fit the giant performance of the full length of I'm Just Ken. Like, if you didn't notice, that thing was like the full song. Everything else was like a, you know, a chorus and a verse, maybe two choruses, and that's it. Like, chorus, verse, chorus, and that was it.
Except that
Everything was like very quick.
Except that they did cut I'm Just Ken because it didn't have the dance off.
It did.
No, I saw him come out, but like they didn't have the extended like them going at each other sort of thing. It was shortened a little bit, or maybe they just played music over instead of doing the choreography.
I think they did. They just didn't do the same choreography, but it was like where he was like, "Can you feel the Kenergy?" They did that whole bit. So yeah. I think that was still part of it. But yeah, I thought it was great, and I loved I'm Just Ken. But like, you're right, it would have been great to have Peaches, but like, maybe because of the time, they were like, fuck it. But it's like, I don't care. Bump the next thing. Just fucking go. Like, we don't care. Stop trying to cut everything down and stop cutting the worst things down. You know, they cut out the good stuff, I feel like, to make room for the boring stuff.
Yeah, it's like, if you're going to set the precedent of nominating I'm Just Ken, you should have nominated Peaches.
100%.
I would have totally understood if they didn't nominate I'm Just Ken and it was just Billie Eilish and that one. But like the fact that they did the fun song, it's like, let's do the other fun song, but whatever.
But you're right. I love I'm Just Ken. I don't think I'd
oh,
trade
it's
that
so
for
good.
anything. It was the best performance at the Oscars since Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper did to their wonderful fucking song, Shallow. So I feel like this was like something that they needed to, and it was like perfect to do it at the end. It just like it was great. I feel like the way that it evolved was like it was almost more surprising throughout until we got to the like main categories, and then save for like Emma Stone, I don't feel like any of them were like a real big surprise once we got to like, I guess, adapted screenplay. I don't know what you picked, but I did not. I had Oppenheimer. Unfortunately, I thought that that was what was going to win. I was excited, though, that American Fiction won.
So, oh my God, I loved American Fiction.
That was a really good
so
movie.
Much. Like, such a surprise.
Such a surprise and really smart. And I'm so glad that it won. It deserved a lot. And I'm glad that it at least won something for the same guy who like wrote and directed it. That was just cool.
Yeah, I did also directorial debut. So
love to see it.
Hit him and Past Lives directorial debuts. Like, what a way to start your career.
I know.
Yeah, so I did not pick it for best adapted. I think I picked Oppenheimer because Oppenheimer just seemed like such a juggernaut this year.
Ugh, I know. I wish I would have picked anything else, though. Like, I would have probably just picked Barbie, but I think that like American Fiction was the perfect choice because it was just so well written and done, and everything was just amazing. So, but I did guess that Anatomy of a Fall would win original screenplay. I really thought that that was just like a really well done, really well written movie.
Most realistic courtroom drama of all time, I think.
Yeah,
I
mean, it's
or at least I
hilarious
can
to
think
me.
of in my lifetime.
I can't help but laugh a little bit when they do the like they're wearing the big dress things and like the wigs because it's like it's just always funny. But I also felt like, yeah, the like her lawyer especially, I was like, man, this guy's sexy and he's a great lawyer. I'm all about him. I love true crime, so I'm like, I felt like it was just very much in line with that. And also that dog really sold me. But great. I didn't realize the actress from that was also who's nominated for best actress. Sandra Hüller was also in Zone of Interest, and Nolan was like, is that the same chick? I'm like, just because they have blonde hair and like they're European. And then I was like, oh wait, it is. What the
Oh,
fuck? How
and
did you
she's
know that?
German?
Yeah, I didn't realize that before. I guess I should have because they mentioned it in the movie. But yeah, she was really, really good. And I feel like, I don't know, I was curious, like out of all the other, I guess out of all the other actresses, besides like, did you think Lily Gladstone was still gonna win?
So I was thinking Lily Gladstone was going to win
Me
because
too.
Lily is the best part of Killers of the Flower Moon. Like, her performance is very like subtle and it's just very different than a lot of like big performances, but like it's really, really good. Also, I'm a bit of a homer because she's from here in Seattle.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Well, I thought she was. I did not watch that movie, but I totally thought she was going to win too. And I was very surprised with Emma Stone. But like, I was also kind of surprised that Cillian Murphy ended up winning. I figured he might because he started winning a bit more and had more momentum. But like, Paul Giamatti had it there for a minute, and I still wanted to see him with the Oscar at In-N-Out.
Yeah.
You
So,
know?
I mean, all the acting roles were really interesting this year. So, like, I feel like the only one that wasn't super interesting was supporting actress, because Divine Joy Randolph was just amazing.
Oh,
And
yeah, and she won everything, but also, like, I feel like, and same with Robert Downey Jr., he won every single award. I was like still hoping for, you know, Ryan Gosling, but I pretty much gave up hope a while ago that he didn't win anything besides the Golden Globe, I think. But I guess he did win the SAG, didn't he?
no, he. I think I'm Just Ken won
Best original
original
song. That's what it
song
was.
as some
Okay.
as somewhere, and there was that gif of
That
him
was,
just
yeah.
being like, "What?"
What? Yeah,
Like,
maybe that was a critic's choice. I don't remember, but that was hilarious. Yeah,
so
so, but I do feel like it was the two main acting categories that were like more of up in the air this year.
yeah, so I thought Lily and Emma was Lily and Emma was kind of like Michelle Yeoh and Cate Blanchett, 2 years ago. Like, it was
Last year.
really neck and neck. But I thought the killers, or sorry, Sandra Hüller from Anatomy of Fall, I thought she was the sleeper. Like, she was
Yeah.
so good.
She could have won too. I bet
Like,
you. I was surprised she wasn't nominated in both categories for like Zone of Interest as well. You know, I
yeah.
thought she was good. I mean, granted, it's like less screen time, but it's also like a different kind of movie. But I thought she was still a really good performance in that, even though it was very different.
Yeah, she would have been like a supporting actress in that. But the way they filmed Zone of Interest, like, it puts less emphasis on like camera being in your face
Yeah, it was a lot of
kind
hidden
of
cam
thing.
and
Like,
shit.
yeah, kind of like under the skin sort of shit. But the supporting actor role, I knew it was going to go to Robert Downey Jr., which, good for him. I can't imagine how hard it is to be the leading man of Marvel in superhero movies as a whole, and then to pivot away from that. So, like, happy for him. But man, I really loved Sterling K. Brown in American Fiction.
Yeah.
He was so good as the brother. Like,
I agree, but like it's so weird because I just watched that this past week, and so I knew he was already nominated, and I was kind of almost surprised. Not that he wasn't an incredible performance, but he was like barely in the movie. And I think similar to Emily Blunt when I was like, Florence Pugh could have been nominated.
Oh yeah, that's
She
the
was
thing
in it
with
more.
like the supporting
Yeah, it's
roles.
very
It's
like hard to tell.
like if I look at the supporting role actors, I didn't see The Color Purple, I didn't see Naiad, but like
Yeah.
Divine Joy Randolph was in way more of the movie than Emily Blunt. Or it was probably the same amount as America Ferrera in Barbie. Like,
Yeah.
so it's like really range. It's like when Anthony Hopkins won Best Actor for being in a movie for 20 minutes.
I
Like,
mean, yeah, but then you
like
watch the movie and you're like, okay, I get it. Yeah, he's the best. Like, that's fucked up. I loved it. Like, I was so excited. I was curious before we get back to like the big, still we're on the big awards, but
they're all big awards.
yeah, well, this isn't an award. It's just the in memoriam segment. How they had the interpretive dancers. I was like, get out of here. This is too much. You don't save the money on this, pay for it, pay Jack Black to perform at the fucking Oscars. You know what I mean? But I was curious, like the song that they chose was like really nice and beautiful, but like as soon as it started, I like started laughing because of Step Brothers and the
Oh
Kettle
yeah.
and the Wine Mixer. And I was like, can you imagine if like they pan out to who's like singing and it's fucking Will Ferrell? I would
Oh.
die. But also they could never do that because they would be like just making a joke of the whole thing. But I was like, that movie has pretty much ruined that song for me. Like
Yeah.
it's still a beautiful song, but I can't help but laugh because I just think of the fucking Catalina Wine Mixer.
Fucking Catalina Wine Mixer. Yeah, I have the exact same feeling. And so that song is like a very emotional song in our family. And even I still, like, as that was going on, I would lean over to the wife and I'd be like, "Boats and Hoes."
Exactly. It's like, I can't help it.
Prestige worldwide. And it's, but yeah, like, I thought the exact same thing. I was like, oh man, they're going for it. I don't know.
That would be so funny, but they would never do it. They'd get booed off the stage. That's like, such a mean thing, but I love it.
That's how the Oscars would get canceled, if they had Step Brother cameo in the In Memoriam.
I would respect the shit out of them, though. That'd be hilarious.
But yeah, the In Memoriam, I mean, I didn't really think about the dancers. I mean, I guess it was a little bit much, but I did
like... I just
like,
thought they were kind of weird.
I did like the increased production value of In Memoriam. Like, I feel like years before, it's just like a PowerPoint slideshow. And this, it's like,
yeah,
it seemed like they like put a little bit more thought into it. But then I saw some like reports of like, this was done in bad taste. And I'm like, oh, well, that's interesting. I don't know.
I just was like picturing the Will Ferrell thing. So that kind of ruined it for me. But
I was surprised at like how fast every person went. And I was like, is this just because you're trying to speed through it? Or did this many people die this year? Like, Matthew Perry was like the big one, but there's been several this year. And it's like, I feel like it was like half a second. It's just powered through. I was like,
totally.
Did that many people die? Or is this just how they stay in that 3.5 hour long time range?
This is, yeah. And then some people, you're like, I feel like they deserved something more than that. Just the, you know, an old picture of like there was just some people I was like, man, that sucks. I did see something interesting. This is not about the In Memoriam, because we already talked about John Cena, but I just saw this and I thought it was pretty funny that they were like, it was kind of a missed opportunity for them, because this person said that it should have been Barry Keoghan because of Saltburn. And I was like, that actually would have been great, but maybe they could have done it together, because John Cena is still so fucking perfect.
Oh, Barry Keoghan to do the naked thing.
The naked thing.
That Sarah said the same thing, that she saw something that was like, they should have done it together. That would have been hilarious with how small he is next to how big John Cena is.
Because John Cena was, like, if you're not going to get Barry Keoghan, he is, like, the perfect person, because, like, his body's so hilarious. Like, he's so buff, but that's what makes it so funny. It's like having Arnold naked out there. It's just, like, so crazy.
Well, and also,
and I love that he actually did it, too.
Well, and also, like, John Cena is maybe the most recorded person in movie history of just being comfortable with being naked, like him and Trainwreck, Peacemaker. Like, it's just,
I love him in Blockers, which I think was originally like Cock Blockers, but they had to change it. It's like the parents who are trying to stop their kids having sex on prom, and he, like, at one point, in order to get into a party and prove that they're young, he, like, the guys, the fucking douchebags at the party, convince him to butt chug, and they're like pretending to. And so then it's like, he's gotta, like, he actually does it, and you see his ass, and he's running out of the party when the cops come with like the thing just dangling. It's like so fucking funny. But I'm like, this guy just doesn't give a fuck. He's also nude in that movie a few times. So he's just like extremely comfortable with himself. And that's what makes him so funny. And I was so happy to see him.
Yeah, it's like The Rock is known for doing action movies. I love how funny John Cena is.
Oh,
and
he's
like,
so good.
Like, he's a really good comedic actor who's like not scared to look weird or, you know, be naked. I mean, if I looked like that, I wouldn't be scared to be naked. But like, for him to make a joke of it, I'm here for it.
I love it. More of it, please.
Yeah. All right. So let's wrap up with some of these acting roles. So we talked about the supporting role for actress and supporting actress and actor. I'm just curious, if you had to pick a different winner, because I feel like supporting actor, actress, they were like the most shoo-in thing of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to pick one from the other list, who would you
for
pick?
Which category?
For both, for actor supporting role. So I picked Sterling K. Brown. So it's Robert Downey Jr., Sterling K. Brown, Robert De Niro, Ryan Gosling.
I would have
Mark
picked
Ruffalo.
Ryan Gosling, or Mark Ruffalo, but probably Ryan Gosling still.
Okay. Playing Ken, that's an incredible.
He could have been best actor, man. He was in that movie way more than any of those other guys.
That's
you
true.
know, to call him supporting is like really just exactly feels perfect for Ken, but like he literally was like the co-lead of the movie. He's not supporting, he's lead actor.
He's in it a lot. He drives a lot of the plot.
Yeah, he's like super important, which is great. And I feel like, but for that, and yeah, I guess I wouldn't have picked any of the other ones for best supporting actors because that's obvious, but and the same for best actress. And then for best actor, I'd probably have picked Paul Giamatti, but that's just because I really enjoyed The Holdovers and I love Paul Giamatti. So
Paul Giamatti is great. I loved The Holdovers because I was like, this is proof that Hallmark movies could be good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is such a wholesome, feel-good movie. And it's
yeah.
Like, if Hallmark just tried, they wouldn't be a joke. But
they also deal with like real shit in not an obvious Hallmark way, you know? And not everybody finds love at the end and it works out perfectly. You know what I mean? Plus, it was like, it was just a really great story. And I feel like I really enjoyed the fact of like, I didn't know how it was going to look like it was a 70s movie and the way that they did that. Like, I could see why I was nominated for some of those things too. Cause I was like, oh, that was really cool. Cause it felt like almost like how Ty West can make a movie that's like modern feel like it's way older. I love it when directors do that. So,
yeah. So I feel like Cillian Murphy
still deserved it.
Yeah. He was the right person. Like when we talked about it, I said one of my biggest gripes of Oppenheimer is I feel like I learned what happened to Oppenheimer, but I don't feel like I learned anything about Oppenheimer. Cillian Murphy is the in between of that. Cillian Murphy's acting really portrayed what that character experienced in that.
He was the only source of truth you had because everything else, to me at least, was so confusing that I was like, at least I can kind of figure out what he's going through. I mean, those eyes are incredible. I think I just was like extra happy for both him and Paul Giamatti to be nominated for Best Actor. I felt like I never would have predicted Cillian Murphy winning Best Actor. Like I maybe Best Supporting. And same with even Paul Giamatti for a while.
Yeah.
He's done a few lead movies, but like it's been a minute and like, I just kind of both felt like those guys are like pretty common in like the best supporting actor category. That would be their thing. So it was cool to see both of them in the best actor and then for Cillian to actually win. He's always had smaller parts besides like, you know, the 28 Days Later and like a couple other movies where he's so good, but like never got recognized until now. So I was excited for him.
Yeah, it's like Peaky Blinders is the most recent lead thing that he did. And along those lines, if it wasn't Cillian, my pick for lead role probably would have been Jeffrey Wright, another person
also incredible.
Who's notoriously a supporting character.
Totally.
And then he got to be the lead and he was so good.
He was really great in that movie that like he just did everything that was just so complicated and really great and still flawed, but you know, the hero kind of, and like, it was just so great. It was a great movie. And he was, I think honestly, all the best actor nominees were really good.
Yeah.
You
a
know,
lot of
like,
a lot
again,
of the nominations, they were really good. I mean, I think I mentioned it when we talked about the Oscar nominations initially. Saltburn was snubbed and Iron Claw was snubbed.
Yeah.
Like, take out all of Maestro and just replace it with Iron Claw. It's better in every way.
And it should have been nominated because it's not like they were going to give fucking Maestro any awards. I think we all knew that a while back. That's why people have been dunking on fucking Bradley Cooper. And he's not doing anything wrong. He still brings his mom to the award show. He's fucking sweet.
I loved the joke about like how many award shows can you bring your mom to before you're dating your mom?
Before we have to have that conversation.
The one thing that I thought Maestro might have won for, and it didn't, but I thought it might have won for like makeup.
Me too.
Because it's like, why are you nominating this? Like, why are you? Clearly, they like this movie. Like, I feel like it most of the time, it's like if you're nominated in the best picture category, it's like you're going to win at least one award.
Yeah.
It's like it didn't win anything. And then Killers of the Flower Moon didn't either. So
yeah, I know. They're just like, wow. I mean, I guess it's like, hey, well, you know, Scorsese didn't win anything either. But it's like, yeah, but Scorsese's been here, done that.
He's already won.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't care. Bradley Cooper's like, yeah, I'll get there one day, you know, but it's like, I hope they do eventually reward him. I think he's great still. And I'm sure that Maestro is like a good, like, well done, well made, well crafted, like great performance. But I still feel like it's not a movie that I'm like dying to see or that I really care about or that I think would be like, besides maybe the craft of it or how much dedication he just put so much effort into it. Maybe they felt bad. They were like, we got to do it. But it's like, that shouldn't be the fucking measure, you know? Don't just throw him a bone so that he keeps coming to the Oscars every year, even though you never reward him.
Well, as the one of us who has seen it, I would never recommend it. There is a lot of craft to it. The cinematography nom it earned, Carey Mulligan nom
she's always great though.
Earned makeup earned, but like
I was shocked it didn't win makeup. Yeah.
Story all over the place. The movie ended. I'm like, I don't know what I'm supposed to take away from this. Like, it's not even like, here's some different ideas. It's like a blank slate. It's like a blender. You just throw all these things in. It's like, I don't know what the flavor is. It's just a blend of things that I can't identify. But
well, I'm almost glad that they didn't throw him a bone here, because then Bradley Cooper would have been like, okay, we're doing it again with
now
something even
he's gonna
crazier.
Take it up a notch. He's gonna do a
don't need
one
that.
man show where he does everything. He's nominated for every category.
I really wish he had been like, I think he was nominated for the year he did that Guillermo del Toro movie that's like fuck, what was it?
Shape of Water?
No, it was after that. It was like the carnival one.
The alley, something alley.
Nightmare Alley, thank you.
Yeah.
My brain just totally was like, what? That movie he was so good in, and I just was like, this is the movie that he should have been nominated for. And then same with Star is Born, honestly, but that one was more recent, and I felt like he was just so fucking incredible. That movie really won me over, even after like I already loved him from A Star is Born. I think he's a great actor, and he's really good, but it's like, they just need to have give him something for the right project, but I hope he doesn't get maybe he'll just like tone it back a little bit and I'll be better for it.
We'll see. I
Fingers
mean,
crossed.
I just watched A Star is Born for the first time, much better than Maestro. So,
yeah, I mean, just don't go all Jared Leto on us. That's all I'm saying, Bradley Cooper. Just rein it in a little bit.
Well, this year is done, it's in the books, and now we start all over again, which is awesome. I love it. Because let's have another good year of movies. Maybe let's get some horror movies up in this. All right. Well, the Oscars have come and gone, and now we start the year all over again with more movies. What could be
God.
Better?
I know. It feels like an infinite possibilities.
Yeah. Well, speaking of infinite possibilities,
nice.
I feel like the movie we're talking about this week is a very whimsical movie. It kind of feels like just anything can happen when you watch it.
It's scrumdiddlyumptious.
Tell us what we're watching, Renee.
We are watching Wonka, which just hit streaming on Max. It was honestly, I think both of us were a little like trepidatious about watching it.
Yeah.
And it won both. I mean, at least I don't know how long it took for you, but I was like in on it pretty quick. I feel like it won me over, and it was just a great little movie. And
I was
it'll
surprised.
Be a good time.
It's just a delightful movie. And Timothy the Chalamet does a really good job at it. As we've talked about before, you love him. I am kind of lukewarm on him. I've never disliked him in anything. I actually really enjoyed him in this movie.
Ooh,
so we'll get into that.
That's so exciting.
And,
let's talk about it now.
Yeah, just go right into it. Yeah, so we're going to talk about that. It's available on Max right now. Also, the original Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory is on there, and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is on there. So we'll probably touch on all of them, I'm sure, but we'll be focusing predominantly on Wonka.
Yeah, and it's just a great little fun movie to have a nice little time and gets your candy ready, because you're probably going to have a sweet tooth. At least I did watching the movie. All the stuff looked really good.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about it. And just to kind of tease a little bit, I'm really excited to talk about all the anti-capitalistic stuff that's in that movie.
I know.
I was like, wait a second.
This is fun. Yeah. I know. I really like how they took the whole concept and just kind of ran with it. So
yeah,
probably unneeded, but you know what? I'm glad we have it.
Yeah. Well, that is it for this week. And we'll see you next week on the regular exclusive podcast.
Don't forget to like and subscribe. We out here.